and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can I find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
And happy Yordan Alvarez Day. He played, and we can all celebrate. We can all pop some champagne bottles. He was back in the lineup today. We will talk about that. And he wants to play tomorrow, but daddy said, nope, you're going to go back to your room and you're going to just sit in your bed and not go out on a date. We'll talk about that later. And we'll talk about more on this edition of the Locked On Astros podcast. You can get Locked On Astros podcast on the podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device played podcast, Locked On Astros. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use a promo code LOCKEDON20 and get 20% off your first order. So happy spring break all to all you people celebrating spring break this week. If you celebrated spring break last week, congratulations, but you're back to school this week. Anybody celebrating spring break any other week? That's weird. Brett and I are going to be doing spring break this week. We know that opening day is getting closer, and it's good to see Yordan Alvarez back in the lineup. And I know that one person who is very excited to see Alvarez back in the lineup was Lance McCullers. And he said that Alvarez coming back to the lineup was very big. And I think he used the word, what was it?
An absolute game changer. He makes a huge difference. He said that Yordan Alvarez could hit on planet Earth, planet Mars, the moon.
No, that was Michael Brantley, I thought.
Michael Brantley said that? Oh.
No, I thought he said that about Michael Brantley. I could be wrong about
Oh,
that.
You know what? You're right. I'm sorry. I'm so caught up in the Yordan Alvarez hype. Like, I feel like it was a national holiday today.
No. Yeah, but that's fine. So I was still trying to pull up my thing. But yeah, he was right. He did say that about that. But this is what Alvarez had to say. He said, the best thing I have to say about this game is that I felt comfortable in the box. It's the first time I've been in a regular game. Just being there, just feeling comfortable was very important for me. And he said after the game, he said he plans to be in the lineup again on Monday versus the Marlins. And he plans to play some outfield this spring. I feel healthy and I'll be ready. And this was him before the game was over. And of course, Dusty Baker being Dusty Baker after the game had some thoughts by Dusty. And he said, yeah, I see Alvarez playing Tuesday and Wednesday, and I'm not so sure about him playing in the outfield yet. So they're still going to be a little bit hesitant with playing him in outfield. And I think they're not ready to play him in back-to-back days yet.
Yeah, that makes sense. He is a high-priced commodity. He is worth a ton. And is anything like his old self, he's a hot starter. They talked about that on the broadcast today. You know, when he first came up this last year, the first and only game he played in, he had a home run. And so he's been known to get off to fast starts, where a lot of times you'll see major league veterans will sometimes be slow getting out of the blocks. And so I think it's important for him, though, mentally, to at least get some playing time out in the field at some point, but they're going to be extra careful because double knee surgery, even at 22, 23 years old, is still something that you have to monitor. His size, his frame, his strength, that's what they're worried about. And they're going to put their best foot forward. They're not trying to keep him off the field. They're trying to protect his career and their investment.
Alvarez wants to go out on that date, but Papa Baker is saying, nope. You're not going to go out on a date. You're going to wait one more day. Then you
well,
can go out
it's
on
not
that date.
Right. But he has to be chaperoned. Like he can't, you know, he can't play out in the field. You know, he's got to sit in the back while they, you know what I mean?
But everybody sees how important this guy is. And even we just had Jim Callis on for a podcast we're going to have later on. And everybody sees how important Alvarez is to this lineup. And like I was listening to MLB Network Radio and they're saying how important Alvarez is to this lineup. This guy is going to be make or break this team this year. And if he's healthy, this lineup can be very dangerous. And it doesn't matter who's batting leadoff, because I know we had another name come up. So, and before we move off of Alvarez, first of all, great that he's back in the lineup. And also before we move away from that, I know that Joe Espada said that there's a chance that we're going to see Alex Bregman back in the lineup in the next day or two. And he ran the bases today and looked really good. So once we get those back into in the lineup in the next day or two, that's going to look really good. But any more thoughts on Alvarez before we move on?
No, I just think we need to probably temper our expectations a little bit. He's getting his swing bat. He has been taking cuts.
Yeah. He had a nice swing in his first at bat, but I think that Victor Robles had to make a nice diving catch to catch
it. But yeah, no, I mean, I don't know that I necessarily expect him to hit a home run today. I know probably everybody else did. But realistically, when it comes time for opening day, he's going to be ready. And that's exciting because of the lineup he's in, because of the people hitting around him, he'll get opportunities and he'll get pitches.
So I don't know when Dusty Baker said, well, Miles Straw could be a leadoff guy. Carlos Correa could be a leadoff guy. Why was nobody talking, including us, about Jose Altuve? Was it because he's coming off a down season? This is a guy who used to be a leadoff hitter for the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
And I know this is a guy who's a high on base average. He's got some speed. We know he's had some knee issues in the past. This is somebody who doesn't, he maybe is not a stolen base guy like he used to be in the past, but this was some thoughts by Dusty. He said, that's something I'd consider doing during the season, and something he would consider too. I'm experimenting with different lineups to see which one suits us best as a team and as a unit. Where did Miles Straw bat today? He batted eighth. Where did Martin Maldonado bat? He batted ninth. I think Martin Maldonado, that's where he would be best suited, batting ninth. Miles Straw, when he bats at the end of the lineup, he doesn't bat ninth. He normally bats eighth. So I don't think you're going to see him as the ninth hole hitter. I think you'll see him bat eighth. So I'm not sure who's going to be the leadoff hitter. I don't think Dusty Baker knows who's going to be the leadoff hitter, but this is something you continue to monitor.
Yeah, I think you have to look at their career averages as leadoff hitters, and Jose Altuve has the highest average at 315 hitting leadoff. And, you know, right now he's hitting 150 in spring training. He went over four today. When he's hitting the ball, he's hitting the ball, you know, he's hitting it really well. He's making good contact. But right now, I think Dusty Baker has to go with a veteran. I think he's got to go with a Correa. He's got to go with an Altuve, someone like that. I mean, even, heck, Kyle Tucker, Mike Stanton even floated the idea of Michael Brantley. I don't know about Michael Brantley leadoff, but he floated that idea out there. And his point was this. This offense, right. Well, yeah, and his point was, you have more than one option. Why not let Miles Straw get momentum and be at the bottom of the lineup? And then if he's hitting at a confident clip and he's doing well enough, then put him in that spot. But start out with your veteran. I think that's a key to success. Who that is, I don't know. But I know each one of those guys, if they're called on to do it, they'll say, put me in, coach. They won't complain.
I know that second part of the Sully episode, Sully was talking about that very issue, and we're going to have that on, I believe, Friday later this week. So he was talking about the whole giving the kid time, and Jim Callis talked about Miles Straw as well. This guy, we don't really know what this guy would give us, and he doesn't know if he can bet on him. But speaking of betting, if you're going to go to betonline.com, betonline.ag.com, or what do you expect to get from there?
If you go to BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can improve. You can imagine. BetOnline has you covered on all news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your sportsbook experts. Promo code locked on.
All right. March Madness is here, and that means the bracket challenges, and everybody's doing it too. And apparently now join our Locked On listener bracket challenge group on ESPN. Submit your March Madness picks, beat your favorite host. And if you win, you will have a guest appearance on Locked On Today, our daily news podcast. The link to join is in the show notes of this episode. And get your picks in today. So let's go ahead and move on and talk a little bit about Lance McCullers. Lance McCullers started today, and he pitched a great four innings, and he looked like he was in mid-season form. I know that he had a throwing error, but it looked like he was trying to make an amazing throw, and he had a throwing error, but Jose Altuve was able to back up the throwing error. But he pitched, four innings? He allowed 3 hits, 0 walks, 6 strikeouts, 0 runs. And he said that I think I'm in a great spot to have a big year. What else did he say today?
He also said that he really felt comfortable with the way he was throwing today. I actually watched the in-game interview after he left the mound. And he said a lot of the pitches that were up and away, he just wasn't getting – he wasn't getting the movement he wanted on his changeup, but that he was still working on that. And so most of his pitches, he feels good with. He likes the movement. He feels like he's, you know, locating it. He said right here, you know, we know that nothing has developed as far as his extension goes. And so I think for Lance McCullers, he doesn't need to worry about extensions. I think he just needs to worry about, heck, he didn't need extensions. He's got big, massive, long hair flowing. I mean, he looks like a dang superhero up on the mound. He's like trying to be Thor 2.0, you know? But I think his focus this year is just getting in there and doing what he did today. 4 innings, 6 strikeouts. I mean, you can't ask for much more and 0 runs. You know, he blanked them. And during a regular season, you hope that turns into 6 innings, 6 strikeouts, or 7 innings, right? You want that 4 to turn into a 6 or a 7 to help extend, to, you know, shorten the taxation on your bullpen. The longer these starters go, the more advantage the Astros will have longevity-wise throughout the season.
Yeah, so he said that he was pretty much in control of the ball, and he said that this felt like he was in midseason form. So I'm glad that he's out there. He's looked the strongest so far of all the starters. So maybe he gets the opening day nod. I still think it probably goes to Zach Greinke because of his tenure, so to speak, and long at the tooth. I guess that's the term to look at too. But to go back to extension, this is something I've been wanting kind of talk about. And I've talked to Michael Schwab about this and some people at the Crawfish Boxes as well. But a lot of people have been worried, well, what if you give Carlos Correa this extension? Would that affect the luxury tax threshold for this year? No, the AAV would not affect the way you structure it. It would not affect for this year. Like if you look at what happened with Alex Bregman's extension, it goes into effect for the next year. So that's what likely would happen with a potential Carlos Correa deal. And I believe I remember it was either Thursday or Friday, Carlos Correa came out and said, yeah, we haven't talked about things yet, but he said the primary focus has been on Framber Valdez. Everybody's trying to figure out what's going on with him. So he said that does not mean that nothing's not going to happen. There's still mutual interest from both sides, and it doesn't take a long time when there's mutual interest between both sides. It doesn't take a long time for a deal to get done, but there's been a lot of distractions. The Astros have had a pretty massive COVID-19, I don't want to call it a crisis, but Dusty Baker did make a pretty big statement about, I don't know where I have it, but he said that is an issue, the fact that, who is it, Pedro Baez is not back yet. He said that it is getting pretty late for him to not be coming back yet. No, the other 8 pitchers have come back, but Pedro Baez has not come back yet. And so for him to make that comment, that is kind of odd. But the other guys have made appearance in a B game. I know that Luis Garcia and Brian Abreu both pitched Saturday in a B game. Luis Garcia, I think, pitched I want to say one inning a piece, and Brian Bayou looked good. And then I think Paredes pitched in today's and Sunday's game. So we're starting to see a lot of these pitchers who miss some action return to action.
Yeah, definitely. We had, McCullers had 6 strikeouts. Hey, Cishek came out there today. He had 3 strikeouts. Paredes had 1. Velasquez had 2. Rayleigh had 1. There's my guy, Brooks Rayleigh. So we got several holds on the game. The Astros came out and did what they needed to do. They only produced 4 hits, but they manufactured 5 runs. And so
2 of them are homers, Carlos Correa and Yuli Gurriel. So they waited till they're on TV to actually hit those big homers. So congratulations.
Yeah. Carlos Correa. I think he looks really good right now at the plate. And he's making the most of his what he's doing. He's hitting .294 right now. And I just think he's going to be the leader of this ball club. Kyle Tucker had a hit that looked like a home run to center field. I think the wind probably kept it in. Victor Robles chased it and turned like 2 or 3 different directions. And he couldn't chase down the ball. And that's a very speedy outfielder. So he must have had a lot of exit velocity on that hit. You know, Eric, with the Astros going into this season with this Pedro Baez news, if someone like that doesn't work out, I know they're paying him, but is he really a guy that we really
paid like $6.5 million? So it's something like
I know, that. But I mean, and I don't know. I haven't really that. Do what.
They're not going to eat that salary. I mean, they're going to give him.
No, I'm not saying eat that, but I don't know. I guess I don't know what their expectations are for him.
He's going to be that 7th inning guy so they can, so everybody can get their beer. They're not inning, but yeah, they're going to give him every chance. If he's hurt, then they'll put him on IL, but they're going to give him every chance to contribute because he's been a reliable reliever over the years. He's not going to be a closer. He's not going to be a guy that you can go out there and count on to give you saves or anything like that, but he's somebody that they're going to count on this year. So speaking of counting on that, let's go and talk about the March Madness and Built Bar. Who is today's matchup?
And we've been telling you about Built Bar for some time. So this March Madness, the suspense is killing me, Eric. Today's matchup is Mint Brownie versus Toffee Almond. Let me tell you, I'm going to go with Mint Brownie, but Toffee Almond is the OG. I think that it is important that you and I focus on winners and not losers because we're Locked On Astros. We like winning. That's right. At all costs. So grab a Mint Brownie and you will be a winner today. These low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bars with 100% chocolate. That's right. Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com to vote. Go to on Twitter, built_bar. And remember to use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will win and become the best tasting protein bar in the Built Bar world.
In the world. Yeah. All righty. Speaking of the best Built Bar in the world, let's talk about the best beers in the world. Let's talk about a Belching Beaver.
Belching Beaver is the best beer on the planet. And this brewery started back in 2012. We discovered them because one of their executives reached out to us because they listened to Locked On Astros. So we made this offseason acquisition with Belching Beaver. And let me tell you, I want you to go to belchingbeaver.bev because they have now landed in Texas. That's right. The Beaver has landed in Texas and they've got great flavors out there. They've got great flavors like the Deftones Phantom Bride Release, Hazer's Gonna Haze, Mango IPA, Miso Honey Blonde, Peanut Butter Milk Stout, anything for any palates. They've got hard seltzers, you name it. Go check out belchingbeaver.com. If you happen to be going to California this week, go check them out in Oceanside. Go to one of their pubs, have them delivered to your hotel, whatever you can do. But when you're in Texas, go to belchingbeaver.bev to find where you can find your Belching Beaver brew and so that you can have a damn good time.
All righty. We are counting the days down to opening day on the Locked On Podcast Network. And we are doing every Wednesday, the Locked On MLB podcast are doing a division preview series. All of our local experts in every MLB market answer the biggest questions around every team. There is no better or easier way to get baseball smarts before opening day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB on the radio.com app or wherever you get the podcast. So let's go ahead and look a little bit at what else we need to talk about. Steven, this is kind of the random crap. We're going to start doing a random, I don't want to say the other word, but random crap segment that we're going to start putting on our show.
Well, you either got to use the S word or don't say crap.
Well, yeah, I know, but I want to keep it PG-13 or whatever. But
that is PG-13.
Well, I know
the S word.
But Steven Souza, he fouled a ball off his foot. I think he was playing a B game, and so he could play Sunday, but X-rays were negative. But he didn't. I don't think he played today. But he is fighting for a backup outfield position. And Pedro Baez, like I said earlier, he still has not returned from the COVID-19 list. So, and like Dusty Baker said, it's getting late. So that is something that I don't know what that means, getting late. So,
well, I mean, dude, we're 2 weeks away from opening day, and he's obviously, so the other guys were in quote unquote COVID protocol.
But yeah, just they because they're there,
but they were still pitching.
Yeah.
So apparently Pedro Baez has not been.
Right. And the other guys, they apparently last year when they had the whole shutdown, a lot of people could not go back to wherever they are respectively from. So they kind of stayed in this hotel last year, and they created a makeshift pitching mound in a hotel. And so that's where they're quarantined this year. And so they were just kind of pitching in a hotel room.
Nice.
In a hotel.
Did you see who Carlos Correa, speaking of the game today, did you see who he hit his home run off of?
No, I did not.
Brad Hand. One of the most sought after relievers out there. And he took Brad Hand yard. It was a great shot. It was a left field pool ball. And I mean, he hit that ball hard. And it's really good to see Gurriel hit a home run, because he just has not looked like himself last season, even sometimes in spring training. He just hasn't been hitting that well. And so for him to get off of that and out of that mode, I think for Gurriel, because I think he's one of the lifebloods of this team. And offensively, we need him going.
All right. So I want to, this is why a lot of Astros fans don't like Bleacher Report. I just want to read all the trolling part of this article headline. Let's just tell me everything that's on here. You ready? Last dance for the Astros. And it has a question mark and a little shocked face. Fallout from the trash can gate continues. And then it says why Abby Mastrasco, whatever her name is, says 2021 can be the final stand for the former super team. And it says continue reading.
So, oh, yeah. I mean, OK, go ahead.
I'm not going to read this, but it has Justin Verlander there, like he's even going to be really part of this team. So I'm not even going to read this. I understand why they're doing that, but I don't even want to read it, but I don't think this is the end of the Astros dynasty. I don't want to call it dynasty, because they haven't won. They've only won one championship during this time. They've been very dominant during this time. They've made it to the World Series a few times, but at the same
time. They made it to ALCS 4 years in a row.
Right.
Okay. That's huge. The Ringer also. So I had a friend of mine from Louisiana. Okay, a guy that I used to work for, a guy at a school I worked for, and he sent me, and the title of their article is, "Are We Nearing the End of the Astros Dynasty?" And it's like, and you know, and basically like their subtitle is, after 7 years spent at or near the top of baseball's hierarchy, Houston is undergoing quite a talent drain. Now it looks like the team's run may be nearing its end, perhaps even sooner than you'd think. Now, here's my question, Eric. Is this more of a genuine analysis of what the Astros are going through because of all the people they've left? Or is this kind of the media salivating and going, oh, maybe the Astros are falling? Because, you know, when the Houston Astros weren't atop of the baseball world, nobody gave a crap about the Houston Astros. You know what I'm saying? It's, to me, it smells a little fishy, like maybe they just want us to be gone with. They want us to go away. And I think the perfect thing, that those things should be motivation for the players, because there's not a lot of people who pick them out. They pick anybody outside of the Dodgers, Padres, maybe the White Sox. I don't know if they pick anybody in the AL to win the World Series, but it's not a dynasty, no, but they are one of the best baseball teams since 2015. They have been one of the best teams on paper and on the field.
Right. So I may have to go look at that, but I think a lot of people look at who's potentially leaving this year. I know Justin Verlander, Zach Greinke, potentially Lance McCullers, Carlos Correa. And then, so there is a changing of the guard, so to speak. The Astros also lost George Springer. And so there's a lot of turnover potentially coming. And we did talk about this with Jim Callis. Those episodes will be coming. There's two-parters. We will be talking about those. Those will be released later this week. We did kind of talk about this as well with Sully later this week. We'll be releasing that as well. And also on tomorrow's podcast, I'll be reuniting with Talking Stros co-host Brandon Del Castillo, and we'll be looking at his outlook on the 2021 Astros, and we'll be kind of analyze. I'll be asking him kind of the same questions, and we'll be looking at what the future is for the Astros in his eyes, and I'll be kind of talking to him about Carlos Correa, if he thinks if the Astros should extend him and everything. So, but otherwise, I think the Astros, I know Jim Callis wasn't too high a little bit on Miles Straw, but I think Miles Straw has a window of opportunity to showcase his skills, whether that be a leadoff guy, whether that be hitting eighth. I'm not sure, but this is, if he wants to seize the chance to play every day in center field, this is his chance. We've seen AJ Reed be given a chance to play. He didn't get to take advantage of it. Now he's not playing baseball anymore. So you got to take advantage of the chance. And I think, what you're trying to insinuate with Jim Callis is that, is Jeremy Pena going to be Wally Pip Carlos Correa this year and come in and, you should have used that. You would have pressed Callis and everything.
Sorry, I didn't use that analogy. But hey, you know, since you're speaking of that and we're speaking of changing of the guards, a couple minor league moves that our listeners may not be aware of. The Astros moved Colin Barber, Zach Daniels, Ryan Hartman, Blair Henley, Gray Kessinger, and Lorenzo Quintanilla. They've been reassigned to the minor league. So they've been making some moves. So you're going to start seeing that happen more and more. You're going to start knowing what the lineup is going to actually look like, what the rotation and the order is going to be. Right. And so these next couple of weeks are going to be, stay locked in to Locked On, because we will keep you up to date.
Also, I forgot to mention this earlier, but Forrest Whitley was optioned down to the minors. And I know what a lot of you are thinking. Well, why couldn't he be added to the 60-day IL so you can open a space on the 40-man roster? And 40-man roster. And there's a reason for that. And Brandon and I will talk about that on tomorrow's Locked On Astros podcast. And it's a bunch of technical legalese, but it will happen because the Astros will need that spot on the roster. But that's all we got for today's Locked On Astros podcast. And have a great spring break. Spend some time with your family. And Brett, have a good spring break and go Astros. Have a great season. And we're really excited about these the Jim Callis interview, and go Astros, and continue listening to Locked On Astros podcast, where we're locked on to the Astros all season long.